Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and Revelation in chapter number 2. The book of Revelation in chapter number 2. We're continuing with this series of the churches of Revelation, taking one church a week and examining it. On Sunday morning, we take time to look at its context, to be able to see what the Bible says, read the text, explain the text, and apply the text. On Sunday nights, we're taking the historical church and seeing some more about the context of that church that it was written to and learning the principles that go along with it. And so as we're here on Sunday night, we want to see a little bit more as we examine the church of Thyatira. We find our way in the book of Revelation in chapter number 2. The book of Revelation chapter 2, and as a reminder, this is the longest letter that Jesus wrote, but that's because there's a lot of things that Jesus has to address, that he has many things against this church. Notice, if you don't mind, as we examine it, the book of Revelation in chapter number 2. The book of Revelation chapter 2, and notice with me in verse number 18. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 18, the Bible says this: "Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Lord God, the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented it not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And once again, we're going to do a study of Thyatira, and we're going to examine the historical context. The church of Thyatira, and we're going to examine the historical context. Let's go to the Lord once again and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we examine the Bible and be able to examine the principles found in this text, that we would be discerning, that we would learn, that we would apply, and that, Lord, we would line up with what you have to say. That we would understand there is much false doctrine in the world, and that we need to be understanding, that we need to stay away from it, that we need to identify it, that we need to understand where the end result of this is going to be. Lord, strengthen up us because of this message tonight. Fill me with your Spirit, that you get your own work accomplished. Thank you that we could trust you in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The city of Thyatira is located 40 miles southeast of Pergamos on the road to Sardis. It was a well-known military city, famous for its trade guilds, commerce, agriculture, and purple dye. You might remember that Lydia, the seller of purple, she had encountered Paul at the city of Philippi. She was Thyatira, and she was selling the purple that had come from the city when Paul had met her. Thyatira, like I said, was a military city. Its pagan citizens worship the sun god Tyraminus, who was depicted as a warrior armed with battle with a great two-edged axe. Jesus depicted himself as one with a flaming eyes and the feet of military bronze. So as this city was just known for its military, it's a military base, and the people thought it's military, and they serve the god of war, the god of military. Jesus here is portraying himself as a military figure as well, who is going to be much bigger than this small little G god that this town had had. At this point of history, Rome had ruled the nations with a rod of iron. That's what they were known for. Even back in Daniel, Rome is pictured as feet having iron, legs having iron. Rome was known for its iron fist, its iron control, its military prowess. And it smashed a bit any kingdom which dared to oppose Rome's might. The Lord promises the overcomer, notice again in verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now again, this is dealing with a millennial kingdom. So this power over the nations is going to be far powerful than Rome. It's going to be more powerful than a little g god of Tyrannus. That Jesus Christ is going to rule a kingdom that's going to be more powerful than those of us who are on the Lord's side, who have followed what God has given us to do, that have overcome, and as Jesus said, repent, have turned from our system of works and religion to a personal relationship with the Lord. We get to rule and reign with him, and a kingdom that will never be toppled, never be defeated, and will stand forever. Praise the Lord that we have that promise of the millennial kingdom to look forward to. Now, the church of Pergamos and the church of Thyatira are closely related. We had talked about this earlier, that they are closely related in location, and they're closely related with the letter that Jesus gave them. Remember that Pergamos, Jesus Christ had said that that church had tolerated false doctrine. So not all the church believed in the false doctrine, but they had allowed the false doctrine to stay in the church instead of getting it out. Whereas in the church of Thyatira, its problem was that false doctrine was taught. And that this false doctrine being taught was a system of works, that we have to be good people, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to keep this sacrament, we have to keep this tradition in order to go to heaven, in order to be forgiven of our sins. This false doctrine was very much a killer. In fact, notice in verse number 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Remember that what is being taught inside of this church of Thyatira is a system where people are taught to commit fornication or adultery. Remember, we describe spiritual adultery. That adultery in its essence is giving love and affection that belong to someone and giving it to someone else. For example, I am married to my wife. She deserves love and affection. I could take that love and affection that belonged to her and give it to someone else, even without doing a physical act. I've committed adultery against her. Does that make sense? That we could also commit spiritual adultery by giving love and affection that belong to God and giving it to something else. Does that make sense? And of course, we covered that this morning. And the easiest system to point out that does the same thing would be the Roman Catholic system. That in the Roman Catholic system, they have love and affection that should belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and is handed to Mary, handed to idols, handed to the Pope, handed to this, handed to their good works. And so they've committed spiritual adultery, giving love and affection that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and giving it away to something else. Not only the idea of fornication or spiritual adultery, but also the idea to, notice what it says at the end of verse 20, to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, once again, carrying the idea of bowing down to false little g gods. Once again, the Catholic system is a big example of this, where they sacrifice and pray to Mary. They sacrifice and pray to the saints, to other G gods, to honor the Pope in the way that they do. This is a system where we could clearly say it matches the Church of Thyatira. It gives us something that we can understand and see how important it is. That, remember, as we also brought up this morning, that the whole problem with this system is that they are serving Christ in order to get something from him, rather than serving God because of what he's already done for us. Remember, we're not serving God in order to get salvation. We're not serving God in order to stay saved. We serve God because of what he's already done for us. A whole different motive, a whole different reasoning, and a whole different love. Now, we've kind of covered this and explained some of this, that this doctrine had been taught within the church. If you don't mind, let's go to the gospel record of Matthew chapter number 7. And I would like to take this passage as Jesus is giving what is often called the Sermon on the Mount. And let's examine what Jesus has to say about this very subject. The gospel record of Matthew chapter 7. And this is where we're going to spend our time. We're going to kind of just read and divide this passage and learn the principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in Matthew chapter number 7, let's go ahead and for context's sake, read the passage and then we'll divide it up. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 15, notice what it says, Matthew chapter 7, and notice with me in verse number 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew thee, you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man that build his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So notice, if you don't mind, as Jesus is teaching, basically you could say Jesus teaches on the Church of Thyatira, just basically covers this. Let's see three things from this passage that we can apply as we're looking at this church. First of all, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. False prophets often come in sheep's clothing. Notice in verse 15, beware of false prophets. By the way, that's a pretty clear declarative sentence. Beware of false prophets. You know that implies that there's false prophets? It also implies that false prophets are everywhere, that you actually have to beware of them. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves. Now, this idea of wolves become an interesting thing. Notice how these false prophets will disguise themselves. They disguise themselves as sheep. They try to look like they're one of us. They try to look like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I'm a believer. Oh yeah, I love the Bible. Oh yeah, I love Jesus. You see, they're not going to advertise, hey, I teach something other than the Bible. I mean, that's easy to spot them. They're going to come looking like, I'm a believer. They're going to dress right, act right, speak right. They're going to try to do everything they can to blend in. But the Bible says that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. All of us have seen the Looney Tunes cartoon of Wile E. Coyote kind of sneaking in into the sheep pen. And you got Sam, the sheepdog, that has to raise up his hair and trying to look for it. And, you know, you see the coyote trying to sneak around. Well, you know, that's cartoon and we laugh at it, but that's exactly what's trying to be done, is that they're trying to sneak in and trying to fool people, oh, they're one of us. The Bible talks about wolves in the Bible. Wolves are dangerous creatures. Here in Matthew, they call them, notice what they said, that they are ravening wolves. And the book of Acts chapter 20, where Paul is warning the Ephesian elders, he is saying they are grievous wolves. The Bible says quite a bit about wolves and that we have to be careful. In fact, Paul explains in Acts 20 that there are wolves that are going to come in from among you teaching false doctrine. They're not coming without. They're already here trying to teach as soon as I leave. He says, beware, as soon as I leave, that's when they're going to come up. The idea of ravenous wolves carries the idea that they're looking for flesh to tear into, to destroy. The Bible says they're ravening wolves. The idea in Acts 20 that they're grievous wolves carries the idea that they leave a trail of sorrow, tears, blood behind them, destruction. The Bible says, beware of false prophets. They're wolves. When the wolves are done with you, they're going to hurt you. When the wolves come into a church, they destroy a church. They hurt the people. Jesus says, beware. By the way, what is it that's destroying them? False doctrine. False doctrine. That wolves attempt to come in and look like teachers. Wolves attempt to come in and look like they're scholarly. Wolves like to come in and try to deceive sheep. By the way, what type of sheep are they trying to destroy? Vulnerable sheep. Young sheep, sickly sheep, not healthy sheep, any sheep they could get to that is easy prey. When is sheep easy to get to? When they're all alone, when they're sick. The wolves, did you know that wolves can actually smell sickness in animals? That there were some wildlife departments that keep wolves that could actually go to buffalo and whatnot, and they could smell. Before any doctor can find it out, they could smell the sickness. That's interesting, isn't it? That they're not going to go to the healthy people, meaning people who have healthy doctor nailed down. They're going to come and find the sick, the alone, the ones that haven't been feeding on God's word, the ones that are not as secure, the vulnerable ones. They're going to go after them. And they're going to leave a trail of destruction, this false doctrine. They're going to hurt people with it. Notice in verse 16 as it goes on, it says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree shall bring forth evil fruit. Now it goes on and just kind of explains, false prophets, because they don't have spirit, the Spirit of God, are going to produce bad fruit. They're going to produce things that hurt people, not make people healthier. They're going to cause doubt, friction, help people lose their faith, destroy them. False doctrine corrupts, and we'll know them by their fruit. What do you mean? Well, it's not talking about how nice they are or how when they smile, how many teeth are showing. You know, there are many of them that are very nice people. We're talking about doctrine now. What is the doctrine they're going to produce? Are they going to produce strong Christians who are following the Lord and reading the Bible for themselves? Or are they going to have people that start getting cantankerous, start arguing against their pastor, start trying to, what kind of fruit are they going to produce? You understand, this idea of spiritual fruit is a big deal. That the idea of a good teacher teaching good, sound doctrine are going to produce healthy Christians. And that false teachers are going to leave a path of destruction behind them with doubt, with fear, with all kinds of things behind them. And that we need to be aware what type of doctrine they have, what type of manner of life, what type of fruits do they have. They will, by the way, betray themselves. They will be exposed of their false doctrine. And so the Bible is very clear that we need to beware of false doctrine, of false prophets, these ravening wolves, that they come in, they're going to deceive people, and that we need to be very careful with this. Not only are we supposed to beware of false prophets, but we're supposed to beware of false professions. False professions. Notice with me verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. If you don't have this passage marked between verses 21 to 23, I encourage you to mark this, highlight it, put it somewhere where you could see. Because we live in a culture today where people say all roads lead to heaven. You could get to heaven in many different ways. That you could be right with God in several different ways. That you could, and they're going to tell you that it doesn't matter. You're just being exclusive. You're just being uppity. You're just being, and all the other things that they will say. But you understand, Jesus says, not pastor, Jesus says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. But they're calling me Lord. They're calling him Lord. Jesus said, notice what he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement. Not everyone who says I'm a Christian is going to heaven. Not everyone who says they're a church member is going to heaven. Well, pastor, you're scaring me now. Does it mean I'm going to heaven? Well, listen, it's very simple to know if we're going to heaven from the Bible that, first of all, I'm a sinner. Because of my sin, I've offended a holy, righteous God, and I deserve to go to hell. My only hope is that Jesus Christ died for me, and I personally accept Christ as my Savior. You see, it's not hard, but you see, people make it complicated. Do you know that there are people who don't accept those things? Maybe they add things to it. Who say, Lord, Lord, I'm going to heaven. Look at all my wonderful works. We'll see that in a second. But they're not going to heaven because they're trusting their works. There are many people that say, I'm a Christian, but they're trusting in their baptism. That won't get them to heaven. Well, I'm going to heaven because I have a feeling. Or I'm going to heaven because I said a prayer. A prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. There are many people who make false professions and they think they're all right because they are religious. But religion doesn't save anyone. A personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ does. You see, this becomes scary. To realize that there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians. Many people who are faithful to churches. Maybe even people who will show up to a Baptist church who are not going to heaven. Because the only one to go to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ and his finished work on the Christ cross. Him and him alone. That's it. And there are many religious people who call themselves Christians who are not making it. You said, you're just being really mean. I'm just saying what the Bible said. There are a lot of people who are going to be surprised. In fact, I believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised who is there, and we're going to be surprised who is not there. Interesting, isn't it? Notice as he goes on, verse number 22, many. Notice that word, many. It doesn't say a few, a couple, a scattering. Many will say unto me in that day, by the way, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name cast out devils? Lord, Lord, and in thy name have we not done many wonderful works? Think about that. There are going to be people that are saying, I don't understand why I'm not going to heaven. I did all these things. Lord, I don't understand why I'm not going to heaven. I was at Mass every Sunday. Lord, I don't understand why I'm not going to heaven. I was in church every Sabbath. Lord, I don't understand why I'm not going to heaven. I did all these wonderful works. Lord, I don't know why I'm not going to heaven. I gave so much money to the church. Lord, I don't know why I'm going to heaven, not going to heaven. I helped so many little ladies cross the street. Lord, I don't know why I'm not going to heaven. I spoke in tongues. Lord, I don't know why I'm not going to heaven. I got to do miracles and I cast out devils. There's going to be a lot of people who are religious who are not going to make it. That's scary. That should frighten all of us. Almost like asking the question the disciples asked at the Last Supper. Is it I? Is it I? Now, someone may say, well, you're just trying to get me to doubt my salvation. Quite the opposite. What I'm trying to do is grab you by your heels and shake you so that way we know you're nailed down. Yes. To nail it down a mile deep. You should know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. Yes. And if you're saying, listen, I don't know, I remember saying a prayer. Let's get this settled. Well, I don't know, I've tried really hard. Let's get this settled. Do not gamble with it. I'm not asking how religious you are. I'm saying, do you know without a doubt that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? There's been a time in your place where you surrendered, I cannot get to heaven. The only way it happens by Jesus, and I'm accepting that gift for myself. This is not something we play with because there is going to be many in that day. Lord, Lord. In fact, notice the next verse. Now, there are some people that will take verse 22 and attempt to say that we could lose our salvation. Well, let's see what it says in verse 23. And I then will profess, this is Jesus speaking, and then will I, Jesus, profess unto them, those many that will say, I never knew thee. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice this. He didn't say, I used to know you, but we've kind of fell apart. He didn't say, hey, we used to be close, but you didn't just quite make the finish line. He didn't say, well, you know, you've been trying hard, but you know, you stumbled at the end. He said, I never knew thee. I never met you. I never had a personal encounter with you. I never had a place where you accepted my gift and I came to live in you. This is not talking about losing your salvation. It's saying you never had it in the first place. Because once you accept Christ as your Savior, He lives in you and cannot be separated from you. You are regenerated. You are born again. By the way, once you're born, you can't become unborn. That's not how it works. When we're born into God's family, we can never be divorced, disowned, or disassembled. Isn't that wonderful? You see, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm trying to make sure it's nailed down a mile deep. Because there are people that make false professions. And by the way, people don't make false professions just in a Catholic church, a Seventh-day Adventist church, a Mormon church, a Assembly God church, a Lutheran church. People make false professions in Baptist churches. People could be religious in a Baptist church. If you could forgive a personal illustration. We had a deacon in the place where I was an assistant of the pastor. My pastor preached a message similar to this. And that deacon came and saw my pastor kind of like in the middle of the night. Pastor, I got to talk with you. I've been thinking about that message and, you know, I don't think I've ever known him. I think since I was a kid, I made a profession and I've just been playing the part and I appreciate you letting me be a deacon. But listen, I don't think I'm saved. Let's get this settled. Praise the Lord. He got baptized. And would you know it? We had a handful of people, a good handful of people after the next thing. They all went to the invitation. All these church people getting saved because someone had the bravery to say, listen, I don't think what I had was real. Let me get this settled. Praise the Lord. People could be in a Baptist church and say, my pastor gave me a Bible. I raised my hand once for salvation. I said a prayer. Doesn't mean a thing. Do you accept Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time where you've been born again? Has there been a time where you personally knew Christ? It's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew thee. Wouldn't that be frightening? To say, I dedicated my whole life. There were things I sacrificed so that way I could be religious. And Jesus said, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Never knew you. Don't play around with this. Don't play around. You say, but I've tried really hard. I believe that you have. But you trying really hard does not get you saved. But I gave so much money. I believe you have. But money does not save you. But listen, I sacrificed and I've given to the poor. I've given to my life. I've lived poor myself just to help other poor people. I give money to give medicine to Africa. Praise the Lord for all that you've done. But that doesn't save you. If we're trusting salvation by our actions, by our religion, we are not saved. You need to get born again. Now, someone may say, at the invitation, I'm too afraid to go up. I'm not saved. I wonder what people will think. Let me ease your fears. You know what people are going to think? Praise the Lord, we got it settled. Amen. Praise the Lord, we got it fixed. Don't go to hell because of pride. If you don't know Jesus, your Savior, get that nailed down a mile deep. You should be able to say that I know, that I know, that I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of a feeling, but because of a promise, and God can't lie. Nail this down. So not only do we deal with in this passage the idea of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false professions. Now again, this is all matching the teaching of Thyatira. The teaching that was going on there, that there's false prophets. And because of that, there are people that are being taught incorrectly. There are false professions. Here's a church that think they're fine with God. And Jesus said, I have several things against thee. But notice, if you don't mind, one more thing that we see. Beware of foolish builders. Beware of foolish builders. Now here's the time. If you're saved, this is the one you pay attention to. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Notice this. If you've never marked those two things, notice the word heareth, circle it, and then go to doeth, circle that, and then draw a line. Connect those two. It's not enough to hear. He that heareth them and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. Praise the Lord. Hearing plus doing equals wise. For those of you who like math, there you go. Put math in your Bible there. Hearing plus doing equals wise. A wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house that fell not, and it was founded upon a rock. Now, we live in Wisconsin. So we don't deal with flooding and all that other stuff. But let's just imagine that just for a moment, not for the temperature's sake, but just for illustration's sake, that we're in Florida. All right? Can you feel the ocean breeze and feel the humidity? All right, there we go. Now, if you can imagine living there with all the hurricanes hitting, everything that's going, and you decide that I want to build a house. Now, if you're going to build a house and you happen to have beachfront property, you're that rich, you can afford it, wonderful. What you start off with is a good solid foundation. Because of all of this sand, you dig down deep, you lay the concrete, you lay it down, so that way you have something stable to build upon. That's wise. So that way you build your house and the hurricanes come and the other stuff, and it doesn't flood, it doesn't break. That's wise. But notice this, verse number 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings and doeth them not. So this is for those who come to church like this, hear the preacher, and you don't do anything about it. I'll do it some other time. I'll think about it. This is for you. You're in the Bible. This is you. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So if you like equations, hearing plus doing, and then you put the cross symbol out, right? Not doing equals foolish. Here's the illustration. We're back in Florida. I got this great beachfront property. I'm just going to build it into the sand. It's going to be fine. So you build the stilts and put it in the sand. And then what happens when the rain comes or the hurricane comes? That sand washes away. And then the house that was sitting on the stand starts to tilt and crash and crumble. And there goes all that money that you put in it. That's called foolish. You didn't build it on a foundation. You just put it in the sand. Storms come. You have nothing to hold it on to. And you watch as things fall apart around you. Your investments, your life, your savings, your things inside of the house, gone, washed out, because it wasn't anchored down. It's not enough to hear it. There's so many people that are foolish enough to say, as long as I show up to a church and listen to the preacher and manage to stay awake, I'm good. Nope. You hear the preacher, specifically the word of God, then obey the word of God, and you are wise, and you start to build a foundation that will last in trouble, that will last when hard times come. The worst thing for someone who's saved is to show up to a Baptist church, hear the word of God, and say, that's nice. Maybe one day I'll think about it and do nothing with it. You're going to watch the things that you build in your life collapse around you. Your marriage, your children, your reputation, your testimony, everything. What happened? You didn't obey. And it washed away. And again, remember that Jesus is telling that to the church of Thyatira too. He says, there's some of you that haven't got the false doctrine. Obey me. Obey my doctrine. Listen to what I say, and I'll give you these rewards. You'll be established in the millennial kingdom. You help me rule. You'll get this. You'll be able to have the morning star. You'll be able to have me. There's all kinds of things that he said you could have, but you got to obey. Listen to him. You haven't listened to the false doctrine. You haven't made a false profession, but you need to be wise and not foolish. Build your life upon the rocks and not the sinking sand. This principle is so important that we teach to kids, right? The wise man built his house upon the rocks. The wise man built his, you know, and the rain came down and this, you know. So, and then it talks about the foolish man. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The foolish man builds his house upon, you know, we're teaching kids this. And the rain came down and the house fell down. Good. I'll get corrected, want the correct words later. But we teach this to the kids. Why? We're trying to teach them to build their house on a firm foundation. How do I build it on a firm foundation? It's not just showing up to church. It's not just showing up to a good church. It's not just showing up to a correct church. It's not just coming to a place that has the Bible preached. Hearing plus doing equals wisdom. Hearing and not doing equals foolish. Do you know that Christians can have their life ruined? Because they didn't obey. And all the things that they wanted in their life fall apart. What happened? It must be false doctrine. No. It must be because I'm not saved. No. It's because you didn't obey. Jesus is talking to the church of Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, and he's saying the same exact thing to this church that he was saying here in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false doctrine. Beware of false professions. Beware of foolish builders. There's some things that we need to be aware of. What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on Bible doctrine or false doctrine? Are you building your life on a true profession or a false profession? Are you building your life on obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and going to have something that lasts? Or are you going to be foolish and build your life on disobedience and watch everything wash away. You see, when we go to the Bible, Jesus makes things simple. We are the ones who make things complicated. Basically, stick with the book. Follow what the book said, believe his promises, accept his promises for ourselves, and then obey what he told us to do. Simple. We make things complicated. Whenever you get to the place in your life where things are just complicated, say, it's not Jesus' fault. We did that. Is your life complicated or simple? Is your life being blessed because of God's word? Or do you feel like you're just getting beat up all the time, washed away? Everything that you're trying to do just keeps washing out. Maybe if you know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, maybe let's just start at the beginning. We're not worried about false prophets because you're in here right now, and right now we're teaching good doctrine. So you're hearing good doctrine. We're not worrying about that. How about your profession of faith? Do you have a personal relationship with Christ, or do you have religion? Do you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? By the way, if you don't, we're not saying you're a bad person. We're begging you, get this settled. Do not walk out the doors without having that nailed down. If you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven, you know that you have that settled, then we go to the building. Are you obeying or disobeying? That's simple. Are you obeying or are you putting it off? Do you know whenever you say, I'm going to do it tomorrow, what you're saying is, I'm not obeying you right now? That's dangerous. You build up the habit of not obeying God, then you start building up destruction when those times come. How's your building? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And we're just trying to keep things simple tonight. Lord, if there is anyone in here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, give them the courage and bravery to get that thing settled. Don't let anything stop them. Let them be willing to come and talk to me. I don't care now, in the office, wherever. Let's nail this thing down. I don't want the worst thing that can happen in my heart is to go up to heaven and find one of these folks not there. Lord, I want every single one of these people to know that they know that they know. Beyond that, Lord, those people who know without a doubt that they're going to heaven, give them the courage and bravery to obey your clear commands. Help them to obey what you've given to them so they could build their house wisely and be able to see the things that they built and laboring for not get washed away. Lord, strengthen them up. Help some people to make decisions tonight that they could follow after you and watch you do a wonderful work. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you wouldn't mind, to stand to your feet. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.